Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of God's word, which is the sermon text for today, comes from the reading of the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, where we read, "The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness." In the name of our Savior Jesus, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. As I sat down to think about an example in our world today of faithfulness and how I could begin this sermon as with this idea of faithfulness, I had struggled at first to come up with something, and then I thought of the name Faithful. And of course, what came to mind right away was Old Faithful. You know Old Faithful, the famous geyser from Yellowstone National Park. How many people have actually been to see Old Faithful? Oh, a lot. Wow, excellent. Yeah, so you know a little bit about it. You know the boardwalks that are there. You can walk. It's not the only geyser in Yellowstone National Park. 3,500 square miles of beauty that demonstrates the God's love for us. Great place to visit. But I did a little research about Old Faithful because I was just interested in why it got that name. And here's some of the statistics that I think maybe you'll find interesting. It erupts every 60 to 110 minutes. Give or take. Now, if you go to Yellowstone, and those of you who have been there know, they have it pinned down pretty much almost to the minute of when it is going to erupt. So if you get there and you just missed it, you might have to wait, you know, up to almost 2 hours, but at least you'll know when it's going to erupt again. Okay, it has a height of approximately anywhere from about 100 to 185 feet that it shoots up into the air. It's a pretty amazing sight to see. And each eruption lasts from about, 90 seconds to about 5 minutes. And here's the interesting thing to me. It shoots out somewhere between about 4,000 and 9,000 gallons of water every time it erupts. Now, let's just put that in perspective because those numbers mean nothing to me until I did a little bit more research. If you have a pool in your backyard or you know somebody who does, the average backyard pool holds about 13,000 gallons of water. So you would only need two eruptions of Old Faithful to fill your entire pool. Not too bad. However, I don't think you want to swim in the water that erupts from Old Faithful, at least not right away, because the temperature of the water is about 204 degrees Fahrenheit. It's pretty hot. And about 20 times a day, Old Faithful erupts right now. I was interested to note this, however, as I was doing this research on Old Faithful. It actually erupts less today than it once did. There was a time in the life of Old Faithful where it erupted 21 times a day. Scientists, geologists have trouble explaining exactly why. It's a fairly big shift to be one whole time less a day. And all it proved to me was even something that's called faithful has a little trouble remaining faithful. It's not as faithful as it once was. And as we think about faithfulness today, each of us here today have to admit the difficulty that we all have in being faithful. Faithful to our word, faithful to our Lord. And so as we look at the fruit of the Spirit called faithfulness, we recognize once again where we need the strength from to be faithful. And it doesn't come from within us. It's difficult to be faithful. It's in short supply in our world. You don't have to look around very far to see that. Pick up any newspaper, magazine, watch the news. You'll see politicians who promised one thing and that did something else. In relationships, we see unfaithfulness all the time. The examples of faithfulness in our world aren't very many. Promises made and broken day after day after day. And there's a reason for that. Faithfulness doesn't come naturally. The only kind of faithfulness that my sinful nature is good at is being faithful to me, faithful to myself. Faithfulness to others, faithfulness to God, that's an afterthought as far as my sinful nature is concerned. And so we might ask ourselves this morning, how is it that we'll ever be faithful? Like all the other fruits of the Spirit, this can't come from us. It has to come as a gift from the giver, the Holy Spirit, thus part of the fruits of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Today, I'd like to set up with you a contrast between our faithfulness and God's faithfulness. And as we do that today, we will get to see that God always does what he says. There's the contrast. Where we can't, where we are unfaithful, God always keeps his promises. Well, let's start with us. You know, you can't keep your word unless you're way different than me. You can probably bring to mind pretty quickly something that you told someone somewhere along the line that you failed to follow through on. Has that happened to you? I'm guessing it has. And maybe sometimes it isn't even because of something that we chose to do. I might make a promise to my children that I'm going to do something for them, and then life might interfere, and I can't do the thing that I really, really wanted to do. But other times, I don't do what I've promised because, well, maybe I'm lazy, or maybe I forgot. Sometimes I don't do what I want to do. Sometimes I'm unfaithful just because I don't feel like doing it, just because I'm not a person that always honors the words that I have said, the words that I've spoken. I'm guessing that everyone here has felt the sting of unfaithfulness. Maybe someone has made you a promise that you were really counting on, something that you really wanted them to do because, well, it was going to be great, and they failed you. Or maybe you felt the sting on the other end because you hurt someone in being unfaithful yourself. Again, we could throw up our hands in the air and say, how can we ever live up to these fruits of the Spirit? How can we ever be faithful as God wants us to be? Let's take a couple of examples from Scripture to begin this discussion. In our reading from Hebrews chapter 11, we heard a lot about Abraham. Abraham was truly, truly blessed by God, handpicked by God to be the one through whose family the Savior was going to come. And in the reading for today, we read about the other promises, tremendous promises that God made him, that he was going to be a great nation, even though he was an old man. And his wife was past the age of childbearing. God said, you're going to have a son, and that son is going to grow into this great nation. God told Abraham that one of his descendants was going to be the promised Savior. And with all of those tremendous promises, you might think it would be easy for Abraham to be faithful. But it wasn't. As a matter of fact, in the chapter, the very same chapter, Genesis chapter 12, where we read about all these promises that God gave to Abraham, we read about Abraham's weakness as well. When famine forced he and Sarah to go to Egypt, he was afraid that the Pharaoh would kill him and take Sarah to be his wife. And so he lied. And he told the Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister. He didn't trust. He doubted God's promises. And that wasn't the only time Abraham did that. He did it a second time. And then, when the years kept passing and no child was born, and Sarah wasn't getting any younger, Abraham and Sarah kind of took in their own hands helping God fulfill his promises when Abraham had a child by his maidservant Hagar. Abraham displayed a lack of trust in God's promises. He displayed unfaithfulness. And yet, there's hope for us. There's hope for us because God still fulfilled his promise. He still gave Abraham and Sarah the son that he promised them. He still made Abraham a great nation. What about the New Testament example? What about Peter? Talked a lot about him over the last few weeks in the Lenten season, right? Talk about special positions, special places in God's kingdom. Peter was privileged to be what we call sometimes one of those inner three disciples. Remember with James and John, the things that they got to see that the other disciples didn't? They got to see the raising of Jairus' daughter. They got to see the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain. They went deeper into the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus when he prayed. And yet, all of those witnesses, all those miracles that Peter was an eyewitness to, he still doubted. He still denied his Lord. You might remember that Jesus even gave him the ability to walk on water. It was Peter who climbed out of the boat. It was Peter who was walking on that water across to Jesus until he saw the waves, until he felt the wind, And then he doubted and began to sink. Remember Peter? The night before Jesus was crucified, the night he was betrayed, saying to Jesus, "Even if everyone else, Lord, even if everyone else falls away from you, I never will." But when the pressure of a few words from a girl around a fire came, Peter did exactly what he said he wasn't going to do. He denied. He deserted. This is Peter, a pillar of the church, Abraham, the father of all believers, unfaithful just like you and me. We can relate to Peter. We can relate to Abraham. We have been unfaithful. We have sinned. We deserve nothing from our Heavenly Father. And yet I want you to hear these next two promises of God to understand how truly faithful God is. From 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes this, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot disown himself." God will be faithful even when we aren't. Or how about this promise from Numbers chapter 23? "God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?" The answer to the questions is, of course not. What God says, he always does. God always does everything that he says. Where we can't, God can. Where we won't, God will. And where we don't, God does. And that's how we stand faithful before God. He keeps his promises. And the greatest promise that God has kept in spite of our unfaithfulness is the promise to send Jesus, the promise of a savior from sin. Jesus came into this world and lived a life 100% faithful to his Heavenly Father. He lived that life for us. His faithfulness is credited to you and to me. That greatest promise of all, that your sins are forgiven in the blood of his Son, that's how you get the faithfulness that God wants, the faithfulness that God demands. And the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, the fact that we got to celebrate an empty tomb again last week, that fact is your proof that God will do everything that he says he will. Jesus leaving the tomb empty means that your sins are forgiven. You never have to wonder, is today the day that I'm going to wake up to find out that I've committed one too many sins and God's faithfulness is going to run out? Nope. God will always be faithful to his promises. One of my favorite phrases in the story of the resurrection comes from Matthew chapter 28. And I don't know if we overlook it because the words that come before it are so awesome and so important, or if maybe we just don't think about it as much as we perhaps could. When the women went to the tomb early that first Sunday morning and the angels greeted them, the angels said this, "He is not here, he is risen." And then they added four little words to what they said, "Just as he said." Nobody should have been surprised when Jesus' tomb was empty on Easter Sunday morning. It's exactly what Jesus said was going to happen. He told them he was going to live. And yet there's beauty in those words, isn't there? Just as he said, it's our assurance of forgiveness. It's our assurance that Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil is our victory. I want you to try something in your own mind this morning, just for a second. I want you to think about your favorite promise of God, the favorite promise of God that you have in his word. And when you recite that or think about it in your mind, just add those four little words to the end of that promise, just as he said. Let me practice with you just a little bit. Let's take Romans chapter 8, verse 28, for instance. "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, just as he said." How about Philippians chapter 4? "My God will meet all of your needs according to his abundance in his mercy and grace, just as he said." How about Joshua chapter 1, verse 9? "The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, just as he said. 1 Corinthians 10, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it, just as he said. Jesus has prepared a place for you with him in heaven, just as he said. Isn't that awesome? What comfort that brings us, that there's not a word of God that's not going to be fulfilled. What confidence we can live our lives with, knowing that nothing that God has said is going to fail to happen. He is faithful. It gives us joy to live lives in this world knowing that our eternal future is secure, that we are going to be with our Lord forever in the perfect joy of eternity. And it's our motivation. It's what helps us strive to live faithful lives right here in this life as we look forward to the joy that we'll have forever in eternity. See, even though it's not by ourselves, we are faithful. We are faithful because Jesus was already faithful in our place. We are faithful because the perfect life that Jesus lived is what God sees when he sees you. And all of our failures, all of our lack of righteousness, lack of faithfulness, that was nailed to Jesus' cross, just like those little red slips of paper over there. Sins nailed to Jesus, washed away forever in his blood. Jesus was faithful so that you don't have to be. He did it for you. But in that joy of that faithfulness that Jesus lived, let's live faithfulness for him. What does that mean? How can we live our faithfulness? It starts with having no doubts, no worries. Nothing can happen to you that will take away what Jesus has already won. Your eternal joy is complete in the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus. You can confess boldly because the God that you confess is going to do everything that he promised, just as he said. You can witness confidently because you're pointing people to a God who is 100% faithful all the time. You will never steer people wrong when you point them to Jesus and his love. Finally, never underestimate the power of our Lord. Never underestimate what he can accomplish in your life, what he can do through you and in you in the power of his word. We have some examples in the Bible. We had some in Hebrews chapter 11, read about Noah in there, and we read about Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, as we talked about, and Ruth we had in Bible study this morning, a good example of faithfulness as well. The Bible is full of some really nice examples of faithfulness. When I think about those examples, I think they're like masks of God. When we get to see faithful people in this life, when God gives us that privilege, it's a little glimpse into what God is like. But just for a second, half a minute or so today, permit me to bring it a little bit closer to home. For the last 38 years here at the chapel, God has privileged many of you to see the faithfulness of his servant, Pastor Trapp. It's an awesome thing to see the blessings that God brings through someone's faithfulness. And through the faithfulness of a faithful pastor, God has done great things here at this chapel. And I know Pastor Trapp is only a couple months away from retirement, but with our Lord, I can say confidently to him, well done, good and faithful servant. What a blessing to this chapel and to God's kingdom to have that example of God's faithfulness in a faithful servant like Pastor Trapp. What about the takeaways from today? First of all, go home knowing today that your salvation is 100% certain. It's 100% certain because it relies on a faithful God. Secondly, remember that you can live every day in complete confidence. You can live because every promise of God will be fulfilled just as he said. And finally, strive. Strive in your life to reflect the kind of faithfulness that you see in your Savior Jesus and in your God. Strive to live that faithfulness as the Spirit produces that faithfulness in you. I found one more example of faithfulness that I'd like to share with you today. Maybe some of you know about this little light bulb. It comes from Livermore, California. It's hanging in a firehouse in Livermore, California. It's called the Centennial Light Bulb because, believe it or not, it's been burning the same light for 116 years without burning out. That's pretty amazing. And if you really like this kind of thing and really, really, really don't have anything else to do, there's a webcam that will show you the Centennial Light Bulb. There's also a webcam that'll show you Old Faithful, by the way, and the birth of a giraffe if you like waiting around for things. That happened too, not too recently, right? But that light reminds you and me of the light that we have right here, the light of the gospel in our hearts, the light that demonstrates the faithfulness of God in spite of our unfaithfulness. And Jesus himself says to us, "Let your light shine before people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." I don't know about you, but when I think about God's faithfulness, it leads me to want to live a faithful life here so that I can hear my Savior, when he welcomes me home to heaven, say those same words to me. "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.